Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransom by His shed blood on the cross.
Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel was raised up to prophesy during the time of Israel's exile to Babylon. God purposed that that country, idolatrous as it was, must be raised up to serve His glory, not only to take the remnant, Judah, Benjamin, and Israel, into captivity, but many of the nations all around. This was a ferocious and vicious army that the Lord raised up. In fact, three different times, Nebuchadnezzar sent his army down into Israel, and everything in its path, all the surrounding nations, they took as they went. And it was the final time that Jerusalem was destroyed. And during that time, each wave, those that remained thought, okay, it's over. Ezekiel kept telling his motto that this is a judgment that God had purposed because of their idolatry. So how could God have acted in such a way toward Israel? That was His chosen people. Even Habakkuk asked that question. So it was about this same time, Ezekiel and Habakkuk, even though they're separated here in the Bible, but these are all during that time period. Daniel lived through this. Jeremiah prophesied. Isaiah. It came to pass exactly as the Lord said. I've often said Ezekiel is the revelation of the Old Testament. It foretold this judgment that was to come on Israel during that Babylonian era. God raised up that wicked country. Revelation, God was revealing what should take place against the church and Israel during the first century. But there are a lot of prophetic pictures and types that are used in both. That when you go to Revelation, you can see, well, this was similar to what was foretold in Ezekiel. When you read Ezekiel, your mind immediately goes to Revelation. But here is a vision of the wheels. What this means. God's hand is doing this. That's what Ezekiel sees here in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, I saw visions of God. So that means that even Ezekiel lived through one of these waves of captivity. It says so. That's one of the captives. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, this is one of the kings of Israel, last, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So he would have been among these captives of the first wave that went. I don't recall that he's necessarily mentioned in Daniel's day, because Daniel and his friends would have been part of the last wave. But here's Ezekiel. It says in the land of the Chaldeans, which would be Babylon. So that's modern day Iraq. We would know as Iraq. This was where God called Abraham. Back even before Abraham knew the Lord. He brought him from that land, the land of Uz. All of this area is historic. But here's what he saw. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. You can think of countries, what was to the north of Israel. This was Babylon, Iraq, Syria, where you see those nations today. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. A light unlike any other that describes not only God's glory, but His holiness. I mentioned it over and over again. God is a God of love, but He loves His righteousness. He loves His holiness. This is a missing note today in popular religion. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Does not the scripture say that God is a consuming fire? That's a picture of His justice and His wrath. I'll tell you, if we're not subject to that justice and wrath, or better yet, any that for whom Christ has paid the debt have already endured that wrath, because Christ endured it. But any that are not, those that for whom Christ paid the debt, this describes the wrath and justice and holiness that souls will know for eternity, separation from God. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. These four living creatures are later described in Ezekiel 10, and verse 5. We're not going to turn there, but these are the cherubim. These were the angels that Isaiah 6 saw around the throne that cried night and day, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. So we're not even left to speculate. Some say four because it represents the four corners of the earth. North, south, east, and west. There's nothing that moves but what God appoints. And in scripture, when you look at these cherubim, there were two that faced each other over the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat, where that blood had to be put once a year, but it represented God's presence, holiness, justice. And that's who they are. They are defenders of God's holiness and justice to execute His judgments. That's why many times in scripture, especially when you get to Revelation, you see that these angels that went forth and brought destruction, death, this was God executing His justice. But here they are, described here as four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. When it says they had the likeness of a man, it's interesting. Every time one of these appeared for judgment, it was in the form of a man. You think about the angel that God sent before He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. For Lot, it was an angel of mercy. But for the city, it was an angel of judgment. It was in the form of a man. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. So this is a creature that God has created, the wings And this is symbolic, representing their speed and their power, like the flash of a lightning. This was how God has created these. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, and they went everyone straight forward. This is a picture of them being sent to execute exactly God's judgment. He doesn't miss. I've heard people say, well, God intended the judgment to fall here, but they overshot and fell here. Nope. Not with God. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. If you look at each one of those, it's characteristic of power and of strength and of speed, swiftness. All of these are ways of describing their characteristics. And when it keeps referring to a face of a man, it was to deal with men, but not in mercy. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. But these were sent to execute judgment. Verse 11 says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Notice, whither the Spirit was to go, should be probably a capital S there, the Spirit of God directed even these. And wherever that was, they went, and they turned not when they went. So think about the characteristic of the elect angels, that's who we're seeing here, and how God has preserved them in holiness, ever obedient to God's command. And this is God preserving. There's some that he caused to fall, but others he preserved. And yet these can in no way even enter into the work of Christ in earning and establishing that righteousness and holiness for a sinful people that God has chosen. To where when it comes down to the redemption of the elect of God, and that perfect standing in which each of God's elect are because of Christ's finished work, the angels look into these things and marvel. Because even their state of holiness in which they are cannot compare to what the Lord Jesus Christ worked out for sinners such as we are. I'm just overwhelmed when I consider that and think about it. Who am I? Yet we have a standing. The angels, they'll be there forever. And they will be there as every one of the redeemed elect throughout eternity or around the throne, singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But that's not a song that they can sing, because it says clearly in Hebrews that Christ did not come to pay for angels, or to redeem angels. Talk about God's sovereignty. People complain about it, but God purposed that a multitude of angels fall, and there's no redemption for them. They're cut off. And those that he preserves, even their standing and righteousness can't compare to that which Christ has procured for his own. But here we see, they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. It's a picture of them executing God's judgment. And like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. If you take the time to go over to Revelation chapter 4, when John is describing what he sees, you'll see some comparisons here between what we're reading in Revelation 4. It shows that God changes not. It doesn't matter how much time has gone by. God is ever the same in his justice and holiness, and how these cherubim serve him. But also, the writer of Hebrews says that these are sent as flaming spirits for the heirs of salvation. Now, this is Ezekiel seeing this in a vision. We don't see this world around us, but it's around us. How many times the Lord uses these angels for the protection even of his heirs, the heirs to his kingdom for whom Christ has paid the debt. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, here's Ezekiel's wheel. You've heard songs about Ezekiel had a wheel. So I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in a middle of a wheel. Some have tried to picture this wheel, what it might have looked like, but it's almost like a gyroscope. It's the best way I know to describe it. If you've ever seen a wheel goes this way, and then you've got the other wheel going the other way, and it spins, there's balance to it, there's direction. That's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So what is being described here, this wheel, and particularly directed by the Spirit of God and these creatures, described here, the cherubim, the mobility of it, turning whithersoever God purposed it, it suggests then the very, not only omnipresence of God, because it goes in any direction, but also his omniscience, but then also his omnipotence. You've heard those three attributes of God, his omnipresence, which means everywhere present, his omniscience, being in the eyes of the wheel, and then the elevated position when it talks about this being so high. You can see that they were dreadful. That's a picture of his omnipotence. It's overall. How do you describe God? You can't do it with artists' pictures here. We already have this picture put right here in Scripture. And that alone is worthy of our contemplation. As for their rings, so high that they were dreadful. This is what people in their natural minds miss today. They talk about God like he's their buddy. And their rings were full eyes. That has to do with omniscience. Round about them four. When the living creatures went, the wheels went by. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Who's doing the directing? Well, we already saw it's the Spirit of God. And wheresoever, verse 20, the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. There's that perfect obedience of these elect angels to God's will and being subject to what he does. The wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. So again, it's all a picture and a powerful imagery that gives to us God's attributes, characteristics in how he acts and moves and what he does. There's nothing that takes place by chance. Not the God of Scripture. Everything directed according to his will in his time. So it says, when those went, these went. Verse 21. Those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The very spirit of God, as we live and move and have our being in him, so it is even in these creatures, these angels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight and one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side. Every one had two, which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters. Notice, as the voice of the Almighty. The voice of speech, as the noise of hosts when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. Above the firmament, this is just showing God's sovereign rule over all things. It's as high as you can go in the firmament. As low as you can go on this earth. Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. It sounds a lot like Revelation chapter 4. Or what John saw. He was caught up. Eyes opened into heaven. There was a throne. I truly believe that nobody has known God in truth until they've seen this God. Not with physical eyes, but as sovereign, as omnipotence, as omniscience, and omnipresent. It says the appearance of sapphire stone upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. What is that? Reflect. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that because John, he said that that vision that Isaiah saw, his eyes were lifted up and he saw the Lord high and lifted up on that throne. Our Lord said that was him. That was his glory. Here it's described as that man. It was upon him. That these seraphim served already even before his incarnation. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, the appearance of his loins. Again, referring to this man. And I would encourage you to go over and read Revelation chapter 1 and see that vision that John had of Christ. Very similar here. And no wonder, because the God of Scripture, whether Old Testament or New, has always revealed himself in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. This should be fearful to any for whom Christ is not the mediator, because this is exactly the God that people outside of Christ will meet in judgment. People are taken out of this world even today, and they think they're just some sweet by and by that's awaiting for them. They have no clue. This popular Jesus that's being preached doesn't exist. It's a figment of men's imagination. You can imagine having been sold a lie, believed it willfully, because that's what men do. They don't search into these things. They just take the preacher's word for it. They're all following each other right over the cliff into condemnation. But this is the God of fire. You say, well, where's our hope? Well, for us, he's the mediator. Has the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. What's that? That's the rainbow. You think of the rainbow, think of the days of Noah. Noah and his family went through the judgment of God just like the world did. So what spared them? It was being in the ark. And the rainbow was given as a sign of the covenant to Noah that never again would God ever destroy the world with water, but he would with fire. You get that rainbow for those like Noah, to whom the covenant was given. It was a symbol of God's mercy and grace. Not dimly, it says, so was the appearance of the brightness round about that overshines God's wrath and justice and holiness. He doesn't set it aside. In Christ there is mercy. This is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I will tell you, wherever you see that in Scripture, that's Christ. And when I saw it, Ezekiel said, I fell upon my face. I heard a voice, one that spake. Again, read Revelation chapter 4. This is exactly the reaction of John. It's not a whoop-de-doo and whoo-hoo, I've seen God, that thing that you see going on in religion. No, there is a fear of God. But as terrifying as this vision was, it vividly displays the majesty and the glory of God. Underscore that. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the capital L-O-R-D. That's the only God there is, Jehovah God. Even in that judgment, the Babylonian exile is a reminder not only of his holiness, power as the Lord of all creation, but also of his mercy and grace for those that he's purposed to save. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, how deep, how wonderful it is. And I would be the first to ask your forgiveness for how we read so lightly your word. As you give us the opportunity and your spirit, settle down and just open it, read it line upon line. See that what is revealed here is exactly how you reveal yourself throughout all of Scripture, at all time. And to be able to know you as the true and living God, and all of your glorious attributes. And to know that if we have any hope standing before you, that it's going to be in and through this one who is your glory, seated upon the throne, and is your Son. So, Father, if we hear nothing else, may this be the word that you address to our hearts. Just like Ezekiel, bring us to bow, fall on our face, to hear that one voice that speaks, that would be the voice of your dear Son. That be so, even mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's your name.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org. Or call 318-687-4943.
please plan to join us again next week.